Chapter 12. The next couple of days were pretty quiet. Everyone who'd been on the mission slept and ate and slept again, spending their time varying degrees of horizontal. The negotiator sped coreward as fast as its hyperdrive would go. They were taking no chances. Not with these prisoners. Yoda demanded that he repeat his trick with a lightsaber, over and over, until the old master finally closed his eyes and said, "Both, it requires. Light and dark, together."
"I could have just told you that," he said, "if you'd asked."
"Determine for myself, I had to. A difficult balancing act it is, no?"
"I'm not sure I could have gotten Dooku to be arrested, mostly quietly, any other way. And I didn't want to have a battle." He closed his eyes. "The last time I had a battle with Dooku, I won. I need to be better than that. I think you understand."
"For not killing my Padawan, I thank you."
He looked at the little green Jedi. "You understand it's not going to be easy for him now."
"Know this, I do. Nevertheless, grateful I am. Only the living learn and grow can."
"Huh, never thought of it like that."
"Still have some things to teach you, I do."
He smiled. "I'll look forward to it."
3 days in, Padme looked up from whatever she was doing and told him, "Check your comms."
He didn't have that many, really. A couple from Diamond, some from the Council, one very thankful one from Solo, and half a dozen increasingly urgent ones from Wei. He opened and read the last one.
"Anakin Naberi, I understand there is some kind of emergency, so I will stop sending these until I hear back from you. I will also continue pursuing legal action against Kamino. You needn't worry about the outcome. The case is open and shut. As a warning, you may be called to testify, so I hope for your sake you get this before the case arrives at court. I'm still waiting on your feedback with regards to which company you actually do wish to engage. Good luck on your emergency. Lannis Su Wei, Attorney."
He immediately had to go back through the messages to find out why Wei was suing Kamino. It turned out to be patent infringement, although technically he hadn't gotten the patent yet. There was still plenty of precedent. Once a technology was filed, it had to be treated as though it had been patented, until and unless the patent was denied. He wasn't quite sure why Kamino was doing this, and neither was Wei, but she was right, the case was open and shut. More interesting to him was the list of firms that someone had clearly spent some time working on. He read the whole thing through twice, and then began composing and sending a couple of comms. Then, once he had those done, the logical thing to do was check what the other counselors wanted. Mostly it was math help. Mostly.
"Naberi, why the fuck would you ever actually calculate how big the Kyber would have to be to blow up a star?"
This was followed with an attachment, his own work, laid out in neat blue and scribbled over in purple with Windu's comments. He'd done those calculations to show that, while big, it was perfectly possible to dig up a Kyber of that size. Therefore, probably, there were Sith caches somewhere, which held ships that weren't just called Star Destroyers. He smiled and responded,
"I can make Kybers that big."
He was responding to the other counselor's requests for math help when his comm pinged.
"You can what?"
"It takes a robust crystal autoclave, a fairly simple mineral mix, and about a year. It's not all that long, if we're talking about shipbuilding, especially if you consider the amount of reactor you'd need to power it, and the size the ship would have to be to hold all that reactor." He sat back and waited for the explosion. It was not long in coming.
"Someone actually built one. What the hell?"
Sidious never did have any idea of appropriate use of force.
And once he had the whole galaxy free and clear, it got worse.
He waited for Windu to ping him back, but nothing happened. He finished answering the math comms and moved on to the ones from Diamond.
Naberi, having lots of fun here. We have plenty of ships now, but we've run out of local courts. Bring it up to the Senate, please. Vote on.
Naberi, if you haven't already gone comms dead, we want you to know that we're all pulling for you. Bring our brothers back. Vote on.
He was smiling at the end of that second one.
Mission success. Thanks. Vote on.
Then he said, Diamond says they've run out of courts in the Trillion sector. I suspect what he means is that the bureaucracy runs a lot slower than the speed at which they're capturing pirates and slavers.
What? Asked Padme.
Some brothers went pirate hunting. It's going well. They've run out of places to put the captured criminals. What should they do?
How should I know? Asked Padme.
You're the senator.
This needs a lawyer.
This needs a reformer, he said. Or is a right to speedy trial by jury a thing we're not guaranteeing criminals now?
Oh, said Padme. Yeah, let me send some messages ahead.
Thanks, he said. A little while later, she sat back and sighed.
Want to go watch a holo?
She asked. No, he said. Let's go to the fab shop. I need a new arm anyway. We can make some jewelry while we're there.
Padme's smile brightened the whole world. Yes, let's do that.
He felt almost recovered the next day and went to go see Kenobi again. The plan was thwarted by Kenobi not being in bed.
Kix!
I don't know why you expected me to be able to keep him down, said Kix, with the resigned voice he used for dealing with him, Jedi.
He took a deep breath.
I'm going to drag him back, he said calmly, and then gravitationally glue him to the bed if I have to.
Great, said Kix. You do that. First, though, is it later yet? Because my eye hasn't spontaneously started working again. Oh, he said. Yeah, sorry, I forgot.
You forgot.
Hold still, he said, reaching out to place his organic fingers around Kix's eye socket. He closed his eyes to see better, and felt around inside a bit. He'd kind of been going extremely overboard with the transistor breaking, with the result that he now had to fix several hundred of them. But they all worked basically the same way, and it was not like the atoms had wandered off out of the crystal.
There, he said, opening his eyes.
But it's still not working?
I missed one?
I don't know. I don't even know what you did to break it.
Swapped atoms around, he said, to break the gated PNP junctions in the radio. I thought I'd move them all back.
He tried again to find places where the silicate felt almost, but not quite, like a transistor.
Yeah, I did.
What else could it be? Check the wire nerve interface, said Kix. It's not transistors, but there are a lot of diodes in there.
He had broken the diodes. He popped them back into form, one right after another.
Now? Working. Thanks.
My pleasure, he said, and pulled Kix into a hug.
He'd been doing it to each of the brothers of the 501st as they got within reach.
Kix sighed and put up with it.
That's still incredibly weird. Ask Rex. He'll know. He just calmed Rex. Shipboard, their respective vambraces could handle it. Well, once he'd exchanged the burnt black vambrace for a shiny new one, anyway. Rex answered right away, which was gratifying, at least.
Rex, do you know where Kenobi is? I'd like to talk to him.
I just got him to sleep, said Rex. If you wake him up, Vod, I swear I will punch you.
He blinked. Just? As in the last 3 days?
Not quite that bad,
said Rex, which meant,
no, only the last 24 hours.
Right. Can you call me when he wakes up?
Yeah,
said Rex. And then, suddenly, unexpectedly,
Naberi, can I ask you a question?
You can always ask, he said.
Is... The Jedi say that once you choose the dark, you can't ever shake it. Is Kenobi gonna be okay?
He never chose it, he replied. Being tortured out of your right mind and then having the light stolen every time you reach for it isn't a choice. Even if he had, the Jedi saying is a whole planet's worth of Bantha shit.
So you could, theoretically, unfall?
Yeah, but I won't. This, being allowed to express and hold on to my emotions, it's comfortable to me. Much more than the Jedi line about attachment ever was, anyway. Ner vod. Rex closed his eyes.
Understood. And Kenobi?
I don't know, Rex. I'm doing my best to make sure the answer is yes, but I'm sorry.
It's okay. Calm you when he's up. Rex out.
He planned to spend the day doing basic exercises with Ventress and Kai instead. Kai kept giving him furtive glances and then looking away. He was doing the same with Ventress, so it was pretty obvious what he was thinking about. He still had to give up on getting anything useful out of the boy that day. Not much more than an hour in. But he was pleased to see that Kai was not dropping point. Ventress, being her usually contrary self, was pushing past her comfort limits and stopping just short of the point where she'd actually do herself any damage. Of course, it made sense that she'd be good at after-mission recuperation. She'd done it often enough. So had he. It was just kind of weird watching it in mirror image from someone as hard and spare as her. After lunch, which was commissary food because Ventress could not be induced to cook, she said, "So, we should go see Grievous." "I thought you two didn't like each other." "We didn't," she said, and offered no further explanation. They went to go see Grievous anyway. He was in the brig, in a room with a couple of brothers, who were medically trained and had a specialty in cybernetics. All six limbs had been replaced, but his mask was firmly in place. He was bent over a pad, talking quietly with the brothers when they arrived. He looked up and then froze. "Come to gloat, witch?" he asked. "My name," said Ventress carefully, "is Asajj Ventress, born to the Gloaming Mist Clan of Night Sisters on Dathomir, and witch is my proper title. I came to make peace."
"Peace?" asked Grievous. "With you?"
"Just so." There was a long, studious pause.
"Why?"
"Because Dooku pitted us against each other, time and time again, to make sure we hated each other. I won't live my life according to what that man wanted me to feel."
"There is that," said Grievous, then moved his attention. "And you, Skywalker?"
He blinked once, slowly. Grievous sighed, a ruined noise even through the vocoder.
"Point taken, Naberi. Why are you here?"
"I'm not a neurosurgeon," he said.
"I didn't think you were," said Grievous. "Because I never sat my exams, or did any practicals," he continued. "There is a Waldo that I am having patented at this very moment. I don't think it will repair any of the damage done to your brain, or restore any of the memories that you lost, but I did specify a comfortable shell, if you want to try it."
"At what price?"
"None," he said. "I spent years in a shell that was at least as uncomfortable for me as that one must have been for you. Deliberately uncomfortable, I might add. Eventually I got fed up with it and began replacing it piecemeal. You never had the expertise. The cost has already been paid." Grievous looked between the two of them, and then focused on Kai.
"And you, youngling?"
Kai shrugged. I'm just watching.
Why?
So I can learn, said Kai.
Huh. Fine. Witch, let the earth drink the blood that lies between us and put forth new stalks.
The words had an odd cadence, like they were a ritual in another language he didn't know.
Naberi, tell me more about this Waldo.
He nodded and pulled up a chair. That ended up taking some hours. Not very long in, Ventress left and took Kai with her. The brothers asked him to pause so they could start taking notes. He powered his pad on and began pulling up technical drawings so he could talk specs. They began considering ideas for how to adapt the system to Khalil physiology, which he didn't know at all. Grievous was mostly quiet. He was a warrior of the old caste, not an engineer, and probably wasn't following more than one word in 10. But when he did say something, it was always pertinent. It took a while, but the general eventually relaxed and asked the real question.
Naberi, my brain, what was done?
There's a tumor in your hypermaglia, he responded. Persistent neural hyperpolarization along the Matt-Fenner cleft to make you more aggressive. Neural growth along your primary Dorset crest. I don't know what anyone was hoping to accomplish with that one. Neural pruning and scrambling in more than one place, which I assume was how the memories were removed. And the whole thing is inside a skull that's the wrong shape, which probably did make you somewhat smarter, actually, but also must give you killer headaches. Oh, and I'm pretty sure a secondary goal was to make you Force-sensitive, which I could have explained wasn't going to work, but what's left of your immune system is trying to mount a response on the midichlorians. I can take care of that right now, actually.
In my brain.
Yeah, sorry.
It is not your fault.
It was the Banking Clan, wasn't it? Not the Jedi? The Banking Clan, as arranged by Dooku for Sidious, he said. Part of your bargain is to stand up in front of the Senate and tell the whole galaxy everything you know about the skeletons in the Banking Clan's collective closet. Since you put any number of them there, I expect you know where to go look. After which, there will be a reckoning. I watched Sidious die. Dooku gets to stand up in front of the Republic and tell them what the criff he was thinking, and then probably spend the rest of his life in a prison someplace.
Huh. Good. Do it.
Are you sure?
No. Do it now before I change my mind.
Okay, he said, and reached until he found the little bundle of midichlorians that had, once, been those of Jedi Master Sifu Dyas. And returned them to the Force. He opened his eyes.
Done. So fast?
It'll take a few days for your blood dialyzer to clear them, he said. But the defeating the infestation? Yes. Done.
Oh.
And then, why don't you hate me? I thought you would. I did, he confirmed. A long time ago. And then I grew up.
You're somewhat surprising.
He said,
thanks.
He was going to say more, but his calm went off. Naberi.
It's Rex. He's awake, if you want to come talk.
Right, of course. Naberi out. So I'm just going to go sit on Kenobi's ass until he falls back to sleep. You guys can keep working on that Waldo if you want. There's probably another patent in it someplace.
Sure, said Wire.
You're okay, Vode. Even if you do have the creepiest eyes, said Nerve. He smiled, which he knew didn't make him any less threatening, and clapped him on the shoulder and said,
see you later.
Kenobi was sitting at one of the benches in the commissary, staring at a cup of tea. He did nothing to hide himself, and sat down quietly. Kenobi said, are you also going to threaten me?
Would it do any good? He asked.
Kenobi half-smiled. Probably not. Then I think I'll just ask you questions instead. Why aren't you sleeping? The dark is very loud.
Oh, he said. Probably.
Yes, compared to the inside of a Jedi's mind, anyway. I found it comforting, but I can see where it could be... You can distract yourself with noise that is purely physical. Listen to music while you sleep or something. The Janilla Cluster released their new album. I think you'd like it. Anakin? Or not? He said lightly. Kenobi, tell me how to help you. You told Master Windu you were stealing the dark from Sidious. That can cause permanent brain damage, he cut in, if I do it wrong. I didn't care if I did it wrong with Sidious, but if I did something to you, I don't. Kenobi, I can't. Kenobi sighed. I see. You might try taking, well, my drug cocktail, if you want. I designed it to deal with most of the more harmful side effects of the dark. Kenobi blinked. I'd forgotten about that. It won't put me into a coma. I have a council meeting tomorrow. The coma was related to the, time lag, I'm going to call it, he said. You don't have that, so it'll probably just knock you out for a few hours, especially if given as a bolus dose. You think someone will give me a bolus dose? On this boat? He asked. Point, said Kenobi. And you have orders to drag me back to medical if you have to. Not orders, no, he said. I'm going to anyway. Once you eat something with nutrition, you need the calories, Kenobi. Kenobi sighed, but got up to get food more filling than a cup of tea. The brothers on duty filled his plate, and over the next hour or so, he did manage to eat most of it. This was good. He was beginning to understand that Kenobi subsisted mostly on tea and nervous energy and meditation, and he wasn't entirely sure how he'd missed it the first time around. He wasn't going to let it get any worse than this. Hopefully, he could even help it get better. Kenobi put up no protest when he got up, and followed him back to medical. Or when he sat down and talked with Kix about the drug cocktail. Or when he got into bed and they put the IV in and loaded up the syringe pump. Then he was incapable of protest. The drugs hit him hard, and it took him maybe 6 seconds to go from conscious to deeply asleep. How did you do that? Asked Kix, awed. He wanted to sleep. I helped him with the path of least resistance. Council meeting tomorrow? Holoproj room 9, said Kix, on the command decks. Got it, he said. He'll probably be fine on his own. Call me if he's not up by 1000 hours tomorrow. Will do, said Kix. He went and found Padme, and they had an enjoyable evening despite the instant meals and the holo. It was, for once, not Hero with No Fear, but only because they'd run out. They watched some historical thing from the last Sith War, just before the Rusan Reformation. Of course, it got just about everything about the Sith wrong, but that was at least not because some idiot hadn't done the research. Can you do that? She asked again. No one can do that. He was endeavoring to answer honestly. Force strains don't steal other people's life or youth or whatever. That's not how aging works, even if you have the Force. But the Force strain itself? In theory? I never tried. Why not? It gives, at best, a temporary boost to your ability to manipulate the Force. I never needed one. Oh, said Padme. I'm glad that you didn't. Can you do that? She nodded at the screen. Pain? Yeah, that's just ions. Oh, I don't do it anymore. I know. The thing was, he'd rationalized it at the time, that it was better than actually doing someone the physical damage that would inflict the same amount of pain. He hadn't ever particularly enjoyed it. It didn't change the fact that it was torture. Can you do the opposite? It took him a moment, but when he understood, he whispered, I want to do the thing. Go ahead, she said. So he did. Padme said, Oh, and turned her head towards him. And then they stopped talking at all for quite a while. He woke up in the morning because Ventress panicked, and she did it very persistently.
"Oof?"
he asked, rolling over. Padme said, But he'd been sleeping, by that point, for almost 9 hours, and his body was done with being in bed, so he dragged himself up and got into the fresher. After a shower, he felt more awake and went to go find out what was wrong with Ventress. She was on the Tenebris, which was a long enough hike that he was starting to feel hungry by the time he got there. He chimed in and went up the ramp and stopped.
What?
Oh, good, said Ventress, punching the hell out of something whitish and flowery. You're here. Why is everything baked goods? Baking helps me think. Sit down. Kai, explain.
I said Kai. Not that I don't see where someone like that is really terrifying, and where the trap is, with the dark side, but he's really a very sad man, isn't he, Dooku?
Yes, he said, waiting for the explanation.
I don't want that. But I do want to try, I think. The way you do it, and Ventress. The way that feels good.
He closed his eyes.
Yoda was going to be so smug.
And this requires baking why?
He, said Ventress, asked me to be his teacher.
He waited to see if this was it, and then said, Okay.
I can't teach, protested Ventress, aghast. I don't know how to teach.
Well, neither do I, he pointed out. I seem to be doing okay. Mostly okay.
And I never wanted an apprentice.
That's good, he said. The whole master-apprentice thing was stupid, and it's not going to work anyway. There are just too few users of the dark to build ourselves up with one-to-one relationships.
Are you building up the dark users? Asked Kai.
I have to, he said. You know I'll have to teach you too, right?
Yeah, said Kai. But you don't understand me well enough. Or you understand me too well. I can learn lightsabers from you, but not... It wouldn't work, okay? Besides, I like Ventress.
I don't hate you, allowed Ventress. I just don't...
Oh, he said. Well... Then don't.
The Force thinks I should. The Force thinks I should very loudly. He looked at her, and then dropped his head into his hands.
What do you want me to say, Ventress? I can't make this choice for you. Do what you feel is best.
Look, can you at least give me some... What happened? After, in your memories...
He took a deep breath and let it out on a slow sigh.
I wasn't dark. You went to Mother Talzin to learn what you needed. She got you straightened out, at least. But something happened. No, don't look at me like that. I don't know. And you left again. Became a bounty hunter of all things. And had a... something with Voss.
Who? Asked Ventress.
Master Quinlan? Asked Kai.
You met. He was the Jedi you cornered when you wanted to calm me, he said. Ventress looked thoughtful. There was a whole spying involved, and double agents and triple agents, and look, Voss fell. You taught him. You weren't bad at it, as far as I know. But I don't know much, because I wasn't really involved in that entire mess. Dooku ended it, anyway. Terminally.
Ventress's mouth pressed down into a hard line, and she slapped that dough into a bowl, and then moved on to a different one.
Oh, is it even allowed to have a student while I'm a student myself?
He shrugged. I'm not making hard and fast rules. That doesn't work. In this case, yeah, sure, go ahead. My full blessing, whatever it's worth.
Great, said Ventress. She didn't sound happy, and she didn't feel happy. But there was something else. Something small and purple and so dark that it was almost, but not quite, black. And what about the Jedi Council, huh?
Oh, them, he said. They're going to meet today anyway. Probably all day. We'll just hijack the meeting.
You, said Kai, are so very, very weird.
We'll go after these bake, decided Ventress. Ventress did take pity on him when his stomach began making noise, and fed him one of the palm-sized loaves. It turned out to be like a dumpling, filled on the inside with cheese and vegetables. So he at least had a full stomach of good food when they went to go interrupt the council. He knocked and got no response, and knocked again.
Who that would be? Kenobi said as he opened the door.
Oh, it's Anakin. Someone let out a sigh. Someone else?
He might as well come in.
Thank you, Kolar, he said. Counselors, is this an official meeting, or can anyone join?
It's official, said Windu. But we were just talking about you.
Ah, he said. The Force is being unsubtle again. Should we ask Ahsoka to join us as well?
That might be wise,
said Kun, after a moment's thought. Hold on, said Kenobi, and fumbled around with the Vambrace interface for a while. It was awkward to use with his right hand in a sling. Ventress carefully was not laughing, but he gave her a glare anyway.
You could use the vocal interface, said Kai helpfully. It's not like this is a secret meeting. We just asked where you were holding it and how to get here.
There was a moment of embarrassed silence, and then Kenobi laughed. Thank you, Kai, was it?
Yes, said Kai.
He thumbed on the vocal interface and said, Comms to Ahsoka Tano. Ahsoka, are you there?
Yes, Master,
came Ahsoka's voice. Please come to the meeting we're having on Control Deck F, room 219.
219 on Deck F. Got it. See you in a bit, Master.
The silence stretched for just a bit too long to be comfortable, before Kai said, So, I have a question, since we're all here and everything.
Yes?
Asked Yoda. Why aren't we... I mean, don't Jedi usually kill people who use the dark?
Jedi usually kill Sith, Anakin said. There's been a lot of overlap in the last, 7,000 years. Being a Sith is actually illegal, so by all rights they should be arresting said Sith and putting them on trial.
Like I managed, he didn't say, and everyone above the age of 13 heard anyway.
But with Sith, that's generally difficult. Using the dark, though, that's not illegal, as long as it isn't misuse of the Force.
Oh, said Kai, and then, so what you did with the Senate?
Projective empathy. I do it all the time with Padme, too. It's just a different way of communicating. But more communication is generally better, especially with the Senate. They're already made up of such a diverse group of people with such different modes of communicating that more ways of talking can only help.
Help,
said Rancasis, clearly suspicious.
Yes, help, he said. For the umpteenth time, I forced a vote, not a result, because forcing a specific result would be unethical, and I refuse to be that person.
Huh,
said Fisto.
You know, that's actually believable.
He rolled his eyes, but was spared having to answer by Ahsoka's arrival.
Master Kenobi- Oh, hello, Master. Am I in trouble?
No, said Kenobi. Not at all. We were just talking about the future and...
I'm teaching Ventress, he said. I'm teaching Kai as far as lightsabers go.
I'm going to die, moaned Kai.
And I'm going to have to teach Kenobi too. In fact, I'm going to have to teach a lot more than just those three. Balance demands it. But I also don't want to have to fight the Jedi. You are mostly here so you can be included in the discussion of your future.
Oh, said Ahsoka. I...
Yes? Prompted Kenobi.
Ahsoka took a deep breath.
I've had two masters fall on me in 4 months. That's not... You know what they say?
Once is happenstance, twice is coincidence. Three times is enemy action, he finished with her. Yes? I don't think it was a coincidence, she said.
Surely you don't think it's enemy action, girl, said Ventress.
I think it's the Force, said Ahsoka.
Said
Yoda.
Right you may be.
Whether or not it is, Anakin said, I'm not teaching anyone who feels pressured into it, even by the Force. He turns to her. You deserve better than the Force constantly yanking you around, and it's not a decision to be made lightly. Once you choose it, eventually, when the light and dark are closer to parity, giving up one or the other will be simply a deep and personal commitment, and people will be able to take that step in either direction whenever they feel the need. Right now, with the two so far out of balance, the light won't take you back, and the dark won't give you up, if you choose it. He let the dark into his eyes, just a little as emphasis. Not that he'd ever be willing to pay the cost of choosing light. She offered him a smile. Yeah, I know. I've been meditating on it.
Is that true?
Asked Galia. Is what true? He asked, confused.
That if the light and dark are in balance, it's easy to switch?
It's never easy, he said.
But doable.
It's doable now, he said. The cost will just, hopefully, be less steep. Can I, said Ahsoka suddenly, study the dark without using it? To a point, he said, I think. But eventually you're going to have to make a choice. Eventually, she said, when I know enough. Well, that's one thing decided, said Kenobi. Next question, where is this going to be happening? Didn't we skip a step? He said, mouth snapping the question off before his brain had a chance to engage.
Said
Yoda.
The math,
said Nu,
is conclusive, even though we have not had time to understand it all. What we do understand is horrifying.
Even I can see that, said Kenobi, and I've only had time to give it a quick glance. You did all that? The father gave me the force propagation equation, he said. I mean, if you had a high-energy detector and a lot of Jedi working in tandem, you could probably work it out from first principles. But it'd take a long time. He shook his head. Then again, he was old and very strong, and impossible doesn't apply to Mortis. There's no reason he couldn't have learned that experimentally, instead of starting with both the answer and the question and connecting the two up.
An impressive achievement, if he did,
said Yoda. He shrugged. Doesn't really matter. I still need an answer, Masters, on the record. Windu sighed.
Fine. Yes, we'll allow this experiment.
He blinked several times. Not against the dark, which had been there since his demonstration to Ahsoka, but against the tears. He said, What will you do if I say I won't be doing it at the temple? Windu sighed.
Give me an ulcer, why don't you?
Well, I wouldn't want that after I went to so much trouble with your heart, he said, smile tucking at his lips. I was just bringing it up now because it's an issue you're going to have to deal with eventually. Numbers parity means numbers parity. The temple won't hold everyone. And even if it did, it still wouldn't allow such radically different viewpoints peacefully.
Uh-huh,
said Windu.
What's your solution?
Asked Kuhn. What makes you think I have one?
You wouldn't have brought it up if you didn't have one,
said Kuhn, which showed that the Kaldor still understood him just fine. Oh, well, the ideal solution is to have each individual be in balance as well as the Force as a whole. However, he held up a hand to forestall comments, I realize that simply saying, Jedi policy has been wrong for thousands of years, while true, doesn't make me very popular. If it's still a problem in, 3 or 4 decades, then we'll sit down and talk solutions.
You think a few decades will change anything?
Asked Nu. I think it might,
he said. People will have had a chance to see what it looks like when someone uses the dark but isn't a Sith. When someone uses the dark but is sane.
You're not the best example of sanity,
said Fisto, friendly but still serious. I wasn't talking about myself, he said.
Oh. Table the matter we shall. 2 decades and not a day more,
said Yoda. Done, he said.
Which brings us to the next matter,
said Windu, nodding at Kenobi. To wit, my empty council seat. Oh, Jedi stuff, he said. No, we don't need to move on yet. I have some stuff I need to say. Also, on the record, I am, as I said, teaching Ventress and Kai. I will not be doing the Master Apprentice Bannet Sith thing. I'll be teaching anyone who really wants to learn. And also anyone who, like Kenobi, needs to. He paused, and then added, except Dooku. He doesn't get my help, ever. My, said Kenobi, I think there are some of us who weren't poisoned by the venom there. Care to try again? He rolled his eyes. Also, Ventress is going to be teaching Kai about the dark. Many teachers, many students.
Is that a good idea?
Asked Piel. I have no idea, he said cheerfully. But he said he can't learn that from me, and I respect his ability to tell when he's not going to be a great student. So Ventress it is.
If it helps any, she said, I don't love it either. And I'd quite like an explanation about this math.
I'll forward it to you later, he promised.
You can't,
began Rancasis. Once again, he said, it's not an abuse of the Force. Therefore, you have no authority. I can send my original work to whoever I damn well please. Stop trying to ask as though you can tell me what to do. Ever. Into the silence, he added, if you don't have any other concerns, I'm going to be a teacher with my 2 students.
Actually, there is,
said Windu.
But perhaps in a more closed session?
I can take a hint, said Ventress. Come on, Kai, let's go find someone else with permanent tissue damage.
Why?
Asked Ahsoka, leaving after them.
Practice,
said Ventress, enigmatically, just as the door shut.
Practice?
Said Kenobi.
She is not good at healing, he said, and turned back to them.
Well?
As you keep pointing out, this council has no authority over you beyond what we have over all 4 sensitives within the Republic. And that is not much as long as you follow the rules.
Do you think I'm not going to follow the rules?
Say rather, you probably won't get caught,
said Kolar.
And this is a problem when you're about to set out on a course of study directly opposed to prevailing wisdom for as long as we have records. Although we do realize you might have access to older records.
He shut his mouth.
It still leaves us with a problem. You are not going to be around to personally oversee the developments of this...
Order, he said, not telling them about how long he'd be personally around. We won't be Jedi, and we won't be Sith. You're right, we do need a new name. T nodded.
Order, then. The Jedi Order has a continuous mandate from the Republic to protect everyone from improper use of the Force. Although it might not be improper, it behooves us to...
Keep a very close watch on us? He asked. But not too close, of course. Anyone who gets too close is going to end up joining us.
Yes,
said Rancasis.
Exactly.
Fortunately, a solution has presented itself, said Kenobi. There is an empty seat on the council. It took him a moment to understand. Oh no. No. Absolutely not. I refuse. The majority of the council looked nonplussed. Fisto, Yoda, Windu, and Kenobi, who knew him better, looked calm, unsurprised.
We need some handle on you, said Windu.
You want some handle on me, he said. But even as he said it, he knew it wasn't fair. The dark did tend to attract, and produce, a certain kind of person.
And the Jedi had their duty, after all. He sighed. Fine, but that's not the answer. Let's put the emotionally unstable ex-Sith in charge of the Jedi Order. That's not going to end in disaster or anything.
That's what I said,
said Rancisis, showing excellent good sense.
Weekly reports,
said Windu,
and mandatory therapy for you and all of your students, no exceptions, and everyone who gets involved, who is the other half of an attachment, gets a brief on all the risks involved.
Too late, he realized the first proposed solution had been a feint. The thing was, given the givens, Windu's solution was not unreasonable. You didn't have to trick me into this, he said. Also, yes, of course. People deserve to know the dangers going in. Padme did.
She did?
Asked Galea blankly. What, you think I wouldn't tell her about the whole attachment thing? He asked, and then, from their expressions, learned that yes, they had thought exactly that. It was... disappointing was probably the right word. And Kenobi was driving the air car when I told her about how much more dangerous I am now. He can back me up on this. He did, said Kenobi. Although we both didn't quite believe him. In retrospect, that was pretty stupid. Thanks, he said. I'm not sure Kai needs therapy as much as he needs a healthy outlet for his anger. But it can't hurt. Ventress needs it. But I don't think she'll sit still for it.
That's your business, Mr. Head of the New Force Order,
said Windu.
A better name it needs,
said Yoda. He said, yeah, I guess it does. I'm going to go put that to a vote, unless someone else has any objections. No one did. He left, and only once he was out of the room did he lean against a wall and allow his mask to crack. He spent a little while like that, just breathing in the dark, until the brothers who were on guard there got unnerved enough to comment. Naberi, said one, what the fuck? You don't have to start another war, he said. This is a good thing. I can go be happy somewhere else if it bothers you. Said the other. Yes, said the first. Please. He left.